But we both thought that this was an excellent plan, and the one truck is really, really in need, as well, both of them are. And so I didn't have any objections during admin and finance. And Jerry, I don't know if you did.
Now, I think we all came to an agreement that as long as the money was there and it was in the budget that we could afford it, that it was an excellent idea. Because
Yeah, thank
we don't want to be operating on old vehicles and old equipment. And if you can get in a cycle of having, newer under warranty type trucks and equipment, it's just better for the district. And like Mike said, they work them hard. So we thought it was a great idea as long as the district can afford it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I just made a comment. I'm not saying I'm against it at all. I was just putting it out there. That's why we have these
Yeah,
meetings
I
so we
just
can
wanted to.
discuss.
Yeah,
Okay, well,
okay.
great.
And I just wanted to clarify. So, as far as I'm concerned, we can go ahead anytime.
Correct.
That
Next
we
year.
have the money. That we have the money. Let me be clear.
Okay, so when we start writing the preliminary budget, we'll earmark this, and if the dollars are there, once we're done with the preliminary, we will include it, and we will start this for fiscal year 21-22, and we'll proceed from there and go with it.
All right. Thanks again,
Okay.
Mike. Excellent. Stacy, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to item number 10. Well, board
Excuse
director.
me.
Yes.
Excuse me, Madam Chairperson. Hi, this is on behalf of Cliff Patton. I'm sorry, we just didn't get the cue. This is our first time attending this meeting, and we didn't speak up at the public comments. We didn't know if we were on the agenda or not because we
You
didn't have a.
are you're coming up under the planning here shortly.
Gotcha.
Well,
Thank you.
soon as admin and finance, we're going into the planning.
Perfect. Thank
We'll be
you.
there. So thank you. All right. Admin and finance.
We did meet, and you have minutes in there under the administrator's report. We had actually quite a lengthy agenda, but we got done pretty quick. One of the items was the one we just did, which was the purchase of new equipment with the $40,000 when available. We also, I'm trying to find my notes, sorry.
That's
Had to
okay.
go back. Okay. And we did discuss several of the items in the expenditures that were a little on the high side, and that was explained to us how and why. We are both, Jerry and I, were absolutely in favor of the full-time, part-time retirement program and the 457 plan. Jerry, are you good with that?
Yes.
And we talked to Deanne about the property taxes and what we're looking for. Right now, the last one, we were right at budget, so we're right at budget. And we're hoping that the final one will come in the same area. And then we're going to see just exactly what the pandemic has done to us. And that's about it. Jerry, I don't know if you've got anything else.
No, you covered it.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Charlie. That
Anybody
was
got
a
any?
very good report.
Thank you.
Planning. Wow, did we have a meeting? We had county officials from rangers to Department of Transportation to I think the only entity not there was CHP, right, Mike?
That is correct.
And we had good discussions about things. And obviously, the headline was Mr. Patton's, I'm sorry, Patton's letter that he had sent out not only to our recreation and park district, but to county officials over the years about their concerns. And those concerns were discussed. But at this point, I'd love to hear from the Patton since you took time out of your busy Wednesday evening to be with us. Would you like to? Nice
Thank
to
you very,
see you.
yes, thank you very much, board members and Mr. Heller, for inviting us to this meeting. to share the challenges that we have been facing and our community is facing about these dirt bikes. Once again, my name is Clifford Patton. My wife's name is Betty, and we are business owners and residents of Rio Linda for over 30 years. We come here tonight to ask for help with the challenges our neighborhood has been dealing with for several years with these loud dirt bikes and ATVs. You received copies of all the documents that we, this neighborhood, put together detailing the problems in history. As you can see, we have reached out before, but because of the lack of action taken by former community leaders, the reckless behavior has escalated to the point where my wife and my neighbor both have been threatened and bullied. Many of these other residents trying to use the trail are in danger with their lives, and accidents are just waiting to happen. We did get a response from the regional park law enforcement. Ranger Perez visited our home, and we're very thankful for that. We discussed things, and he went down the street and checked out what we were discussing. And he said he called us back later that day, and he was going to go back and talk to his boss about it. And they said they were trying to put something together, a letter to the owner of the property to ask them to give the rangers authority to approach the bikers and ask them to leave the property. When they are approached, the law officers, they do, when they leave, all the motorcycles come right back. Because they know we're out here in Rio Linda and we don't have city police. We have nothing but county police. Sheriff's department are out here and that's all we have. And it's just a concern of ours, and it's getting worse all the time. And I do ask, does anybody, you all read it, does anybody have a question for me before I turn it over to Nita, that she has a few things to say also? Does anybody have a question for me? All right, thank you very much for the time, and I'm going to pass this over to the neighbor, Nita, and okay. Here she is.
Hi. Thank you, Madam Chair, and board members for listening to us tonight. I just wanted to emphasize, when we say danger in allowing these motorbikes to speed through our trail, I've actually experienced it with my grandchildren. I have a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old that the 3-year-old I have to swiftly pick up off the bike trail. And while in the meantime, yelling at my 8-year-old who was on a skateboard to get out of the way. So it's like a daily basis when we have these motorbikes through here. It's getting ridiculous. I've witnessed residents moving out of the way, yelling at these bikers. I've witnessed their retaliation against us, our neighbors, Cliff and Betty Patton, and who knows what other residents that are fearful of being bullied or threatened because we called law enforcement. There's always this retaliation. Now we are, as Cliff had mentioned, that, you know, he's a business owner. I work 40 hours a week. Sometimes, you know, I telecommute at home, and I really look forward to the quietness and without all this harassment of having to deal with all this. And I mean, we live right next to the bike trail. So, you know, I feel that we can't allow these young men to take over the bike trail and whatever property they feel like they can use and have no regards toward the residents and their family who's threatening bullying us. I mean, it's coming to that point. And so we are asking you as public servants of this community to be proactive and take serious action by reaching out, because our resources are limited. But for you guys, it's like reaching out to the property owners through whatever agency or context you have to go through and support us strongly in this challenge to stop promoting this reckless behavior in our community and hold these property owners responsible to secure their property from its obstruction. And then reach out to law enforcement to maybe establish some long-term consistent protocol to stop these young adults and inform their parents of the obstruction that they're causing the neighborhood and the threats and the bullying, and hold the parents accountable. We're available to meet and follow up, and then we can provide you with further details as to the residents of where this is occurring from. At any time, I don't, we just feel like we need to reach out and seek some help from those who can be, you probably can have a little bit more impact than we have these past few years. And again, it has been growing. It's been dangerous. And I'm fearful for the residents, and I'm fearful for the children and playing at the bike trail, and I'm fearful for my neighbors having to be threatened all the time. So with that being said, please, let's do something about this.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I wish you had both been on our planning meeting to hear, because Director Bastian, as well as Administrator Heller, were very adamant about the concerns. I mean, the bike trail's been here forever. It's right. Patrolled and owned by, you know, Sacramento, you know, the Sac County Department of Transportation. I've been after them for many, many years on the Dry Creek Parkway to add additional signage. And we know how the 311 is working right now. They're inundated. They're not getting to them, because that's always their contact 311, contact 311. So yeah. Both I and Stacy and Mike, I think we did get through to them. I think they did hear. And I think Administrator Heller, I'll have him add what he's found out since our meeting. And then Director Bastian, if you have anything when Mike's done, I'd love for you to chime in. So Mike.
So not a lot since the meeting was over. Mickey McDaniel, no relation, from the Department of Transportation, was on the call. And during the call, she said she hadn't seen the letter yet. And the response I'd received from Mr. Patton was that once he got the letter from us, that he went and forwarded something to her office. I'm assuming it was an email, because later that week, there was a response via email to the Pattons with some clearer direction. We did establish at the meeting that, yes, this is a Department of Transportation trail, but for law enforcement, they are contracting out to the park rangers, which is also part of Sacramento County, but it's two different departments. So they're like cousins, no relation. Sometimes they talk to each other, sometimes they don't, but they have about 1,000 hours a year contracted, and they spend, they usually go over that contract amount. So it feels like we might be going around in circles. We've heard you. The challenge that we have is it's not our trail, but it goes through two of our parks, and we see and we commiserate with you, because we have the same challenges and issues, and we're making those calls 311. The overriding verdict was continue to call 311 as it's happening, so that they can track the time, and that's when they can send rangers out. I have seen rangers on the trail, not as much as I'd like, but they can do that. And after hours, it's SAC Sheriff. Unfortunately, it's not a 911 call, but 311, and continue to SAC Sheriff so that they have a time frame. And we all know when it's happening. It's later in the afternoon, usually when these people are out of school, and now that they haven't been in school, they're just keeping the same time frames. And like clockwork, we hear it from our offices between 3 and 5 every single day. And there's just, we're sort of, our hands are a little bit tied on it, because it's, we can't go and enforce it, nor would I ever ask anybody to go out and enforce that unless they were properly prepared to. So all we do is the same as you're doing right now, is we call 311 and at least get it on the record. And I'm sorry, I can't give you anything stronger than that.
Thanks. Director Bastian, did you have anything, Stacy, you wanted to add?
Yes, I do. First and foremost, I want to thank you for being here and speaking on this, because I know it's been a problem for quite some time, and I always like to have a resolution to a problem. But unfortunately, I don't think we have found that resolution yet. And I expressed this in the planning committee meeting. Law enforcement right now has their hands tied as far as everything goes, and 311, unfortunately, is not working. I've called several times, and it isn't working for me, so I doubt it's working for anyone else. I know law enforcement is working as hard as they can. I know they're overloaded right now. And I hope with our planning meeting, we did, I think maybe we've had some progress with the understanding of the issue. And I'm hoping that with our follow-up, that we can find some resolution for everyone, because I know it's very troublesome, and in reality, it hurts our community. So I appreciate you guys coming forward.
Thanks, so, Safety. Yeah, they did mention getting some more signage that this is patrolled. I mean, a lot of people don't even know who patrols it, who's responsible for the bike trail. If there are instances, who you call and what you do. So Mickey McDaniel did state that, directed with Liz Bellis, who's head of the Parks Division there with Sacramento County, to work on some getting some signage. I trust that they're going to do this. I've been asking for 20 years, so maybe we're finally there to get that done, so that people can reach out a little more. And I told them the 311 just doesn't always work. There has to be, you know, Department of Transportation. I mean, that's where we used to call, was we used to be able to call Department of Transportation directly. So worst case scenario, you know, look up whatever the Department of Transportation number is with the county and call it every day. Call, say, I've called 311. We've been calling 311 for 5 years. We've gotten no response. I'm calling you directly. You know, I mean, we're trying. We just want you to know we are trying on our part. And Supervisor Frost, Aide, was also, you know, in the meeting, and he was going to take it back to her and the rest of the board of supervisors. That, you know, it's, things are out of control, and as Stacy said, law enforcement's hands are tied with COVID, and they have so many other bigger fish to fry. Now, the safety thing, if they go by and they push someone, as far as I'm concerned, that is a 911, because it's assault. Call 911. We were just assaulted. Though that does rise higher than, you know, them zipping by. So thank you for being here. Did we have anything from Director Morris or Director Huffines? Director Moore?
No, I'm just looking at these. Director. Majority of these seem like they're over off Rolling the Boulevard. Am I wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah.
It's the bike trail in north of Q Street going toward Alberta.
And there is this private property that's correct, in the midst of some contract for building some homes there that they are currently obstructing. And we've mentioned it in our letter as a neighborhood to the property owner. Actually, we've contacted them about that, and they're not in agreement with having these vehicles, motorbikes, whatever they are, utilizing their property, dirt bikes. So,
do you know who the owners of the property are?
Yeah.
Beezer Homes.
Because this one looks like the old El Rio picture right off Rolling the Boulevard with the red, yes, white van and truck, and that's why I guessed Rolling the Boulevard. But I live between Q and U. That's why I was, you know.
Well, that's the problem. See, their access to that private property,
the bike trail,
is the bike trail, yeah. And so that's why I asked to see. I mean, I don't know, what is your position in reaching out to the private property owners to say, hey, this is what's happening to our community, and it's endangering the safety. And I kid you not, it is endangering the safety of the community. I mean, I'm at the verge of, we're at the verge of moving out of Rio Linda. I mean, this is how bad it's been like this for years, and we've just had it. Because when it comes to threats and bullying, that's enough. So, which is why we're here tonight, because we just don't know what steps to take. I think we're still going to plow through it, but what is your position in reaching out to these property owners and asking them, please, this, we have this meetings, and there's several neighborhoods by your property are very concerned about what's going on. You know,
I don't know, Becky, who reaches out to Beezer Homes, or is anybody able to? That's over my.
May I comment, Chair McDaniel? May I comment?
Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Moore.
Thank you. I think that we're in a real ticklish situation here. First of all, I want the Pattons to understand and all the neighbors to understand that the Park District in no way condones, and if there was anything we could do, we would do it yesterday. But the fact is that, as you have pointed out, it's private property, and the Park District does not have any jurisdiction whatsoever on private property, nor do we have any real jurisdiction on the bike trail, as you know, it has already been discussed. My suggestion, and this is just my suggestion, but I saw that you had a lawyer letter in there sent back in 2004 to somebody. I don't remember who it was sent to. My suggestion is that you do hire the whole, you know, all your neighbors get together, hire yourself a class action attorney and sue Beezer Homes. That is my suggestion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But like I say, the reason we're here with you folks is because if we could cut the access off to the property, we will do our absolute best to work with the property owners. And I know you guys can't do that, but we're under the impression that this is the right place that has control over the bike trail. And so we'll just contact Ranger Perez and let him know that we're not going to get help from this direction, that we're going to rely more on him now to do something about this. And we all know the Rangers are pretty darn busy down the other side of the city over there, where all the big dollar houses are and everything else. We understand all that. We know they don't ever come out here. Matter of fact, when Perez came out here, he says, "I've never been out here." He said, "I didn't know this was a problem out here." He said, "Every time they heard North Bike Trail, they figured that was over there by the old bicycle track over there."
But sir, just please understand, Mr. Patton, as Charlie and all of us have conveyed, the bike trail, we're an independent special district within the county. We're our own little small park district. We don't have jurisdiction over Sacramento County. We're within them, but we're independent. That's why we're the five electeds here and not overseeing. Then we have the Board of Supervisors who oversees all of the county. And that bike trail belongs to Sacramento County. It is Sacramento County's bike trail, and it's overseen by the Department of Transportation within the county of Sacramento. So your fight, you know, we support, the county of Sacramento knows that we've complained numerous years ourselves about issues at the bike trail coming through the community center. They go through, they tear up all the turf in Depot Park. Can't even tell you how many times our park staff has had to repair ruts that they've destroyed. So we're all in the same boat with you. It's a very, as Charlie said, it's a very difficult battle, but sadly it's not ours. Yes, we can send a letter to say, hey, we have the ongoing, which they're aware. This board and, you know, Administrator Heller can just say, hey, we still have the continuing issues on the bike trail. You know, residents are starting to come to our meetings for help. Can you please look into this? You know, outside of them putting fencing, you know, ballers and things between their property and the private property, I don't see what else can be done.
Thank you.
Okay. I mean, we're a good place for you to start and to vent, because, and just know we're all in it together. And that bike trail stems, you know, it goes all the way into the city of Sacramento, and you can cross over and go all the way into the Discovery Park. So it has it covers a lot of miles, and we're just one little snippet of it. And we have seen rangers, they do get on the bike trail, and yes, they need to go further north. They need to hit from M, go all the way up and start on the Q side and go to Alberta Road. But I would address the Board of Supervisors again. I mean, you're welcome to go to their meeting the way you are now. You get your 3 minutes there, send in the correspondence and ask to be placed on the agenda and ask them what they're going to do about this continuing issue, because it's theirs.
All right, thank you.
Chair McDaniel, may I speak?
Yes, thank you, Lisa, go ahead.
Actually, Yeah, I concur with all the directors. Unfortunately, you know, we really can't do anything because the bike trail is controlled by the County of Sacramento. I do have a suggestion for you, though. I don't know if you tried to reach out to the assistant district attorney for Sacramento County. The assistant district attorney also works with code enforcement regarding issues of like nuisance, things like that. And when I used to go to the sheriff's meetings with our supervisors, kind of like piggybacking on that, what they would do is if anybody had complaints like in the community, the district attorney would write a letter to the property owner and saying, hey, you know what, we have this issue with this, there's this problem. And a lot of times the district attorney will get answers for people. There's another lady down the street, you know, like 32nd Street or something like that. I can't recall what street she said she lived on. She had an issue. So went to the assistant district attorney and they solved her problem. So I would suggest to kind of go there to that route. It's kind of hard for us because we're like a third person, you know, hearing all the complaints. We don't actually see that what's going on for ourselves. We do see it, you know, our staff, you know, down the bike trail, but, you know, they're gone before you even get out there or take pictures or whatnot. But I would suggest to start there.
You say assistant district attorney. Do you have a name?
Yes, I'll give that to Mike, and I'll have Mike forward that because he has your information.
Yes, he does.
Okay, I will forward that number, name and number to you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, you two, is there anything else we can help you with on this? I think we've helped a little bit, maybe not to the extent you would like, but.
No, but we just want to
hear you.
We just wanted to place it on the record. This is what's happening and it's continuing. Hopefully it can be resolved down the road, but I don't know. And hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We do appreciate it. And with that, we're moving on to safety and security. More and more. It's the double M's. We have M&M going tonight.
Sandy's
okay. A plainer peanut, but you're at it.
Okay, safety.
I like.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, you're the chair, Lisa. You go ahead. I just was trying to get to my notes.
Okay. Actually, we met on February 3rd. Actually, it was a very good meeting. We spoke about the Patton's letter, the issue with the bike trail. Kind of had some suggestions on that. We also spoke about needles and illegal dumping of human waste, you know, in our garbage cans and what our staff has to deal with. And Director Moore stated that it was a health issue, which it definitely is. And let's see, what else did we speak about? I have my notes here. Let me see. Oh, then we need to update the cameras. We spoke to Tim Marble about that, about getting cameras updated. Once we get our budget or get some money, we spoke about that we definitely need to update our cameras. We spoke about Bay Best. There were some issues there with people parking on the side of the road for a length, period of time. I've kind of looked before our meeting, like a week before our meeting, and that issue has been cleared up. So that's a good thing. Also, the southwest corner, the gate that we have there seems to be working well. And I haven't heard any issues on that. And then Director Moore, did I miss anything or would you like to add anything?
No, I just want to, you know, reiterate that from my perspective, this business literally with the human waste in the garbage can is completely unacceptable for any number of reasons, not the least of which is that it's our workers out there that have to deal with this, and it's a health hazard in the extreme. I mean, this is just a terrible health hazard. And so I'm very concerned about this business of them apparently dumping directly from their buckets or their RVs into our dumpsters and into our trash barrels. Of course, we can't lock a trash barrel. And I just, as I stated in the meeting, I think that this is a health issue and we should make a lot of noise at the health department.
Just to follow up, during our planning meeting, you two, it was brought up. The issue with needles was raised. I brought all that up. What are we doing? Is the county being more proactive? What are they doing about information pamphlets to distribute to the community? So if a community member finds a needle, that they know not to just throw it in a trash can in a park, you know, those type of things. And we discussed the human waste, and both Liz and who else was it? I think Mike or Stacy, if you recall, stated they were going to get reach out to county health and see what county health is doing with the county issues of the feces and what other eradication. Because I told them, I go, this, you know, this stuff just isn't okay. Now, Liz Bellis did state they don't have the problems we do with the needles as much because they don't have playgrounds, and they know that playgrounds seem to be a huge hot spot now for the, you know, them to dispose of. But of course, they're getting them on the parkway. Stacy, Mike, did I miss anything on that?
No, the other person was Vance Jared from Supervisor Frost's office.
There you go. So the human feces, he was going to pass on. And I also told them we're really, really upset with the fact that our waste fees went up November 1st for the dump.
Yes.
That it went up 100% from $25 to $50. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we are now receiving, I mean, I know at FEC, we're up over 100% in garbage being dumped in our parks. I know Reeland, Alberta is dealing with some of it, but I think mostly probably in the Safka area more so than in the park area. But I know our community's been impacted on streets. So we also, I and Stacy and Mike proposed to the county who was present that they come up with a different fee scale for recreation and park districts as government entities so that we're not paying that full rate of business. I said, we know you're not going to waive it, but if we're going to continue to get all the onslaught in our small communities because you raised it by 100%, we need to be compensated in some way because we're having to make more trips to the dump, which is costing us more. So I don't know. Did I catch everything, Mike and Stacy, on that part?
Yeah, I think you covered mostly everything. And I personally told them that I honestly feel like, and I think Becky, you agreed that Reeland and Alberta, pretty much we feel like we've been forgotten.
Yep.
Out here as far as, I mean, everywhere you turn around, it seems like there's a needle or there's trash or there's, you know, urine or defecation around. And Liz did say that because I know we get calls on encampments constantly, and she said because of the public health order that the encampments must stay in place unless it's a public safety hazard. My thing is, where are these people urinating? Where are these people defecating? I mean, obviously they're throwing it in our trash cans. So to me, agree with Charlie, this is a public safety hazard, and it has just been overwhelming. I agree with Becky, since November, as you said in the planning meeting, as far as trash and the encampments, it seems that they are becoming more, you know, numerous. The trash is everywhere. And I know that law enforcement has their hands tied. It's their budgets are being cut and they don't have enough officers to go over it, but they can't realistically charge anyone or touch anyone. And I know Vance had touched base on that they were delivering trash bags.
Yep.
Along the American River Parkway and hoping that they would pick up their trash. But as Liz said, some people do not think that trash is trash as we would see as trash. So he was going to check in with that, as, and I think bulk pickup as well. Becky, you had mentioned that during planning. So again, I'm all for zero tolerance, but our hands are pretty much tied everywhere we turn around, and I give it to staff for everything that they have to deal with. I just, you know, hope and pray that you guys stay safe with all the things that are going on. So I think that pretty much covered everything as far as safety goes.
I have a question for everybody. Mike, I don't know if you find out. What if our staff just calls the county health and refuses to say, we're not picking up human waste. This isn't our gig. You guys need to send out your, you know, your professionals, your trained people who have to pick this literal CRAP up.
So first of all, it's being dumped in our garbage can. So it's correct. A little bit of a different argument. I did call the Department of Environmental Health and discussed it with them, and their recommendation was to get it to 311. So once again, it can be tracked. And I went to the 311 website, and unfortunately it's very specific in what they ask in their drop-down boxes. And if it's not in the drop-down box, you have to call 311. Well, poop has never been one of the categories in the drop-down box. So we called 311, and I, first person I spoke with, got a little bit on the defensive and said that they don't handle biological waste. That is up to the people who discover it. And I immediately responded and said that we're not asking you to come out and remove it, although that would be nice. We need it on the record that this is happening, and we're trying to track down a time and a day of the week if there's a pattern to it. And the only way we can do that with you is to get it on the record. So instead of telling us that you won't clean it up, can you at least take the complaint? And she promised to have a supervisor call me back. Still waiting, but I've still called in to record it. And we haven't, thankfully, had, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've had anything in the last week. We did put up a temporary camera to focus in on it. We took it down. We'll be putting that back up next week until we can get something more permanent out there.
All right. Thank you. Great report, you guys. Firehouse committee.
Okay. We met February 8th. It was a good meeting. Supervisor Frost was in attendance at our meeting. Spoke about the big day of giving. And if everybody can kind of get the word out, I believe Administrator Heller is going to be giving us information that we pass along to different entities. That's going to be, is it May 6th, I believe, Mike, on May 6th?
Yes, May 6th.
So anyway, he's going to be putting something together so we can get that information out and just kind of plaster it out there just to try to get donations, because as you're aware, you know, they can't have their fundraising dinners and that where they were making the majority of their money the rest of the truck. So we're just trying to look different ways where they can raise money. There was another restoration crew member wanted to do like a GoFundMe page, but they're going to wait on it to see how the big day of giving is going to go. The supervisor, she was so excited, you know, about getting this project going, you know, as a museum and whatnot. We also spoke about our Rio Linda fire truck number 8. It was found, and we have an opportunity to purchase that if we desire to. The restoration crew, I think it's in Oregon, the restoration crew is going to be going up there. They think they have a donor that would actually purchase the vehicle. And I asked Roger Mitchell if we did obtain the number 8, if we have room in the firehouse, the bay there to store it, and he said yes. And they agreed that it would not be worked on. Of course, we're working on number 2, make sure that's complete before that work is ever done. Let's see, we also talked about possibly building a stronger relationship with the Historical Society with this project, trying to get their input and support, you know, on this project. I think that was pretty much about it. Do you have anything to add, Jerry?
I don't think they were asking us to purchase it. I think they said they had a donor to purchase it and another way to transport it. They were just looking for somebody to take ownership name of it, and then we could store it. And like you said, they wouldn't work on it until a later date. They would focus on the truck that they have now. So they were just looking for somebody to, I guess, take ownership of it. No money involved, just store it and keep it. But it was a really productive meeting. Sue Frost was really excited. I got excited because she was excited.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, wow, she's excited. So I'm excited. Yes. Okay.
That's great report, you two. Thank you. Stacy, Charlie, do you guys meet with LAFCO?
I am sorry to report that I did not. I was under the impression it was a Zoom meeting and it was an in-person meeting, and I missed it entirely.
Okay. Stacy?
The same exact thing.
Oh, okay.
I tried to get a hold of, I forget her name, Diane Thorpe, to say, I don't have the Zoom link. What's the Zoom link? And it was like, there is no Zoom link. We are downtown. And I was like, oh, because that was like 5 minutes before the meeting.
Wow.
So I apologize sincerely.
Well, it happens. The new world we live in. Okay, director comments. Gee, Charlie, you were right there talking, so we'll let you start.
Oh, thank you. The one thing I would like to speak about is this force sewer main, whatever it is. It was in the board packet right after the agenda, and it's coming down from Sutter, and it's pump stations, and it comes across down Rio Linda Boulevard. Pleasant Grove turns into Rio Linda Boulevard. It comes down all the way down Rio Linda Boulevard to M Street, and then goes west on M Street to West 6th, down West 6th to Elkhorn. Now, my concern, and none of this touches on Park District property, so I'm maybe out of line in talking about it here, but I am very concerned about the amount of disruption on Rio Linda Boulevard and M Street, not to mention West 6th Street, which is a tiny little rural road. And I'm very concerned about the arches at M Street. I don't know what their plans are. I don't know how they intend to do this. It just seems to me that our whole entire town from north to south is going to be ripped up for this sewer main that's coming from Sutter County. And my understanding is that Sacramento County developments, including Grand Park and others, have nothing to do with this. They don't hook into it or anything. So that my comment is, I'd like everyone to be aware of this, and to maybe we need to send a letter to our board of supervisors. I don't know exactly what we need to do, but I am very concerned. And that said, I want to, as always, compliment our staff, especially Deanne on the budget and Tim and the crew on what they've been doing in the parks. As I am terribly concerned, as I've already made clear, about the health hazards of this human waste disposal, which our crews should not even have to do. And that's a huge concern to me. And I won't let go of that until we find some way to solve that. But thank you, Tim and staff and everyone, for all the work you do out in the parks, making them look beautiful. And Tim, I gather from the reports that the SAFCA contract is going well and that things are moving along in that direction. So with that said, everybody try to stay safe and let's try to solve some of these problems that really aren't our problems.
Right. Well, maybe Mike can contact the county and find out who's going to be tearing up and why. We just want to be in the loop with the paperwork, Mike. You know, if nothing else, we want emails with our board is interested to know, our constituency is going to be asking.
Yeah, I've already had constituents ask.
doing the county works or wherever they're that in planning, probably planning too, can help us out. Just a thought. Thank you, Charlie. Vice Chair Bastian, what's up, Stacy?
What's up? Hello, everyone. Yes, Charlie, thank you for bringing that sewer line up. I appreciate it. And I became aware of this as well. And my understanding is it's a limited direct line, so no hookups for our area whatsoever because it's limited capacity for Sutter County. So once again, Sacramento County has their hands on our community, and we have no say, and we literally can't do anything about it at this moment. But I hope, Mike, maybe, like Becky said, we can send a letter inquiring and go to our County Board of Supervisors, and because our town is literally going to be turned upside down. And as we all know, when they go to patch the roads, they never turn out like they were in the first place. They turn worse. And to do this, I believe it's to be, you know, more affordable for Sutter County for them to go this way, to go to Natomas, but who knows the meaning behind it. But hopefully we can speak up and just let our presence be known. And like Charlie said, I'm very concerned about the arches as we don't have the specific plan or what they're going to be doing, et cetera. And we have traffic issues that are very dangerous around here. And to do this, I don't think they are aware of the traffic issues that we have. So again, thank you, Charlie, for bringing it up. Thank you to the board for their support of inquiring this with the County Board of Supervisors. I greatly appreciate it. And with the Planning Committee meeting, I just wanted to touch base real quick. I was glad that we were able to meet with so many of the county officials. I hope they heard us, but I'm just saddened for our community right now because we are literally becoming a dump site every street I turn in. And speaking from a community member's perspective, I've called 311. I've called them. I have tickets in from July, and I still have the trash sitting there. So obviously there is a problem. I understand COVID, but we should have been able to figure something out by now. And I hope that the County Board of Supervisors will start looking at the rural areas of the county because the problem is not everywhere. I can say that. I hear that a lot, but I travel around a lot to different communities, and it is very prevalent. I believe it's the city, like Becky said, coming in to us and just dumping. And the encampments, I understand, I get phone calls every day. It's a huge issue. And like I said before, I give it to our staff who is cleaning up what they should not have to clean up. And I thank our community as well. So I also want to thank, I believe it's Green Acres 4-H that did the Valentine's tree decorations in Depot. That was really cool, and it was such a cool sight to see. So something positive for us that was really enjoyable and just kind of, you know, made you smile. So thank you to everyone that was involved in that. And thank you to everyone that is on staff that's working hard in our community to make it better, even though our hands are tied in so many ways. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Stacy. Jerry?
They kind of covered everything. Tim and your crew, stay safe out there. You're doing a good job. And Mike and Deanne and the office crew, I appreciate the budgets that Deanne does and all the work you do, Mike. So you guys all stay safe, and that's about it.
Thanks, Jerry. Lisa?
I want to kind of ditto to the other directors, especially about the garbage in our area. I think it's only going to get worse because in March, the residential garbage is going to be going up, and you're only allowed like one can. If not, it's going to be like $5 to $6 per month. It didn't say, you know, for billing period, because it's every other month, but per month for any additional cans. Well, number one, they didn't think this through, because now people aren't even going to separate their garbage. They're going to throw everything in their garbage can, so they're not going to do the recycling, and people are just going to be tossing garbage all over, because they're saying, I'm not going to pay any extra money. We already see it with the dump increase, you know, in our area. And, you know, they can say, well, they didn't have a raise for 10 years, but it's still an issue. It's a bad time to do it, number one, with everything else going on. But I just see the community getting inundated with garbage everywhere. And that's not, that, nobody wants to see that, you know. And then, you know, it could be affecting our parks too. The staff already has to do a lot of stuff with all the stuff going in our garbage cans now. Then they're going to be picking up garbage people are going to be throwing out, you know, because of, you know, this hike. But thank you guys for bringing that up also. I heard the Valentine's Day event was great. So thank you, staff, because I think Eric and his crew had something to do with that as well. So thank you to staff for that. Of course, Dan, maintenance, Mr. Heller, thank you so much for what you do and keeping us updated on everything. And our weekly reports is very much appreciated. And I think that's it for me. Everybody stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
Right. Excellent meeting tonight, everybody. It's great to have the public here, but it's also wonderful that we're all so well-informed. And we have the heartbeat of the community in our hands. And I think all of us work really hard to keep that going. And it's really, really difficult right now. Everybody's feeling it, the stress levels, the depression in our children. So Stace, keep an eye on them. You know, all of us with around the kids, please watch them. I was just reading an article the other day that we've lost more people to suicide than COVID in this state, because it's that bad right now. I don't know if that's true or not, but pediatricians, I know two of them, and they're devastated at what they're seeing. So we as a park district, we just have to keep on doing what we're doing and be the positive light. The tree in the park was a positive light. Brought tears in my eyes a little bit, because it's so needed. We need to spread the love. And it's rough. And I think this sewer line is terrible. The feces issue is terrible. And the county, as Stace says, we kind of get lip service. We were happy they were at the meeting. But we've been burned so many times. I'm just hoping that the candle we've lit won't be burned out by them. Keep working hard. Keep your head up. If you guys feel as if you're starting to get down and depressed, please seek help, staff. It's hard. It's really hard. You know, there's a lot of staff at board. It affects everybody in every household differently. But mental health professionals are there. So don't be afraid to reach out to them. And I know the guys are wearing appropriate attire when they're taking care of this feces issue. And the bad thing is, guess where it's going? It's going to the dump. Well, the dump doesn't want it there. The dump doesn't want the dump. So why aren't they environmental health? I'm almost ready to call 310 on your side and 310-13 and say, hey, come look at this, you know, continuing pile of crap that environmental health doesn't want, think is a health issue. Where does it go?
Go Becky. Go Becky.
I mean, at what point does, you know, piles of crap and basic garbage cans get the attention of the Board of Supervisors? And yeah. Sue's great. Sue's great. I mean, she tries for us. We know their hands are full, but dang it. Dr. Casserier, I will hopefully see Dr. Casserier tomorrow morning at our county update meeting. I'm hopeful Dr. Casserier will be there. She may not, but I'm definitely going to bring it up and push the envelope for them to take care of this. I think we should be able to call them, and they should send out their environmental health people that are trained professionals wearing the right gear to do this, so you're not breathing the literal CRAP in through your nose or mouth.
Amen.
It's dangerous. Amen. It's dangerous. So they need to come out. They need to come out and dispose of it the appropriate way. I don't care if it's in a garbage can. I don't care if it's put in a plastic bag by it. It doesn't matter. They are charged with doing it. We pay taxes, and we're having the same issue at Fulton El Camino. All right. The feces issue in the smaller districts, the garbage issue. I forwarded Mike. If you want to forward it to the rest of the directors, just to show them one Saturday of what happened in our Bohemian Park at Fulton El Camino. It was abominable. And I sent it to the Board of Supervisors. I sent it to everyone in the county that was at the meeting. Not one of them responded to me about this garbage and feces and stuff in a park. Not one of them. Not one. And that infuriates me, because that's just, they're just giving us, as Stacy said, lip service. I'm tired of lip service from the city. I'm tired of it from the county. We've got to take our communities back, and we have to be the voices. We're the leaders in the community. And by God, if we have to go to the Board of Supervisors and say with the photos and say, hey, look, you want us to walk in here with a bag of feces and set it? You know, we can have our park staff bring it, you know, put it in the bags and just lift it and start delivering it straight to the county office. They're not equipped and trained for feces, human feces. They're not.
That's right.
They are not trained. And I know how to, you know, those of us with some science about it, we know how dangerous it is. So I'm not, I know we're all kind of on our soapbox vent, and damn it, I'm at 98% now. So I'm feeling better. So I feel like I'm not coughing every 10 seconds, but we just, I don't know. I think that's what we have to do. We have to push Sue. We have to just sit there and say, no, county health, this is your issue. When we have human feces right here, you are charged with cleaning it up, not a recreation or park district of, you know, employee. That's not what we, and yet the governor keeps telling everybody in the damn state to go enjoy your parks. Well, that's not enjoying your parks. Crapping in them is not enjoying them. So if it's a letter writing campaign, whatever it takes, but I think we're done. If we need to draft, Mike, if you want to draft a board from the, and we'll send it to Environmental Health and all of the board that, you know, this is a safety hazard and we're not equipped or trained to do it. We didn't get CARES money the way you did to help with all this stuff. The county got millions of dollars in CARES money. We didn't get a dime. Not a single independent district got a penny.
Wow. You
know, so they got all the CARES money. Let their butts come and clean up after the human waste that, and all the other waste, because they raised the fee by 100% during a pandemic when everybody's home and able to clean out their garages. Gee, I wonder how beneficial that was to them. That's it. I'm love you guys. It's great to be back. Seeing everybody healthy.
Actually, I have a question, if I may, Ms. Chair.
Certainly.
Okay, you said that your park district, Fulton El Camino, has that issue. Do you know if any other park districts are experiencing?
We haven't. I just know I'd spoken to Mike. I know it's ours. We can certainly, I'll probably have Mike pose that tomorrow. I can also pose it to, I mean, they'll be close, you know, at the county meeting. Hey, how many of you are seeing an increase in garbage in your parks? Are any of you have an increase in human feces being placed in your trash receptacles? We can certainly pose that as a question tomorrow, depending on how many people are in the meeting, because I don't know. I mean, sometimes we have up to 30 people and sometimes it's under 20. But we have county officials there. And it's like, Liz, no, it needs to be constantly on the record. And I think we as a park district need to send it. And I think we should CC 310, 13, 31, and 40 locally to say we have a human feces issue going on during this pandemic that's affecting our small park districts. And we can't get assistance from 311 or the county as to what we're supposed to do with their doo-doo.
Yes.
I had to put something in there. I don't know. I mean, what's everybody's thoughts on a letter?
Oh, I think that's great. That's great.
I'm for it.
I completely agree.
You want to draft something, Mike, from the board?
I can.
I mean, this is on the agenda because it's under plan. I mean, we've been talking about the feces and the safety, so.
I can put something together. I'm going to recommend it be a little bit more gentler than the last letter I drafted on behalf of the board.
Mike,
don't hold back.
Yeah, I think we'll get a little bit more. We'll get more flies with honey this time. Last time it was all vinegar. So,
well, that's because they had
we all felt good when it was written, but it wasn't the message that we should probably be sending. So I'll put something together.
Go ahead, massage it, put a little oil on it, whatever you need to do, and get it out. And I think maybe all five of us should sign it. So I guess I guess it can't go out though till March, huh? I'm just asking, can Mike draft it and each one of us go read it?
Yeah.
If we're good with it, we sign it.
I'll email it to everybody first so that they can read it. I'll probably put it into, if I can get it done in time, I'll have it in this Friday's email, but if not, it'll go out next week.
Okay.
And I can arrange to meet with everybody individually to sign.
Okay.
Whether I have to come to your residence or have you come in, we can, it's actually a little bit easier than just saying, hey, it's here to sign, come when you can.
Well, I know that. You have to set up an appointment, but.
So, well, yeah, but it's what I do, so I'll take care of that.
All right, yeah, let's get it drafted. I mean, we're Board of Supervisors, County Health, County Environmental, all of them. Department of Transportation, Uber drivers. I mean, I'm just kidding.
It wouldn't hurt to send that to LAFCO either.
LAFCO board. Okay.
And I mean, I know we touched base on this when we were speaking to them, but like, for example, in Central Park Horse Arena along the creek there, like I've heard that, and Tim would probably know better than me, that there has been people defecating near the creek there.
They dropped their, Stacy, I can testify, sorry to interrupt, but let me tell you that on the cleanups in the creek that I was leading for years, we picked up bags floating in the creek that were full of crap. They throw their bags in there. They don't just defecate near.
Yeah.
And I'll testify to that.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't know of a solution, or I know putting porta potties up, but to me, they just destroy them, and that's not a solution either. To me, the only solution is, I understand there's a public health order, but law enforcement having some ramifications for these individuals because it is a public safety hazard. And
there's
I think that should be noted somewhere that, you know, because Central Park Horse Arena is our park, and people want to go there, and there is defecations going on right there from people coming from the encampments, or I don't know where they're exactly coming from, but to me that is a huge concern. It always has been, but I feel like we should, you know, kind of emphasize on that, which I don't know if there is a solution, but
defecating in public is against the law. There is a county ordinance against defecating in public. Okay?
But doesn't a law enforcement officer have to catch them in the act?
Exactly.
Yes, they have to catch them in the act. The issue is the county continues to test all the waters and streams because they're getting so bad now. With all the fishes catching diseases and everything because of all the human waste. So this is something, honestly, I believe 310, 13, 31, or 40 should do a story on the human defecation and feces issue going on in Sacramento County. Countywide.
Right.
What are you doing to address it? Yes, we know they're doing it. Yes, we know they have to be caught in the act to cite them. But since it's all there, what happens afterwards? Who's responsible for it? And how is it being appropriately disposed so that the workers, even at the dump, aren't being exposed to this?
Right.
So, I don't know.
We're all pretty hot about this.
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, I go to my office, I walk out to the Empire office, and somebody's always crapped almost every morning right in front of the door. It's just, they're...
Yep.
And I mean, the bathroom could be open 5 feet away, and they still do it because they can.
That's the frustrating part. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and that's the real issue. I think because they can. That is the issue. They know there's no ramifications. They know that law enforcement cannot do anything to them. So it's and I know a lot of our community lets their kids swim in the creek because they're unaware of what is actually going on out there. So it's, that just scares me, especially when we have the summer coming up. So I think that's something that we need to look at as well.
I'll bring it up to Liz tomorrow. Well, I guess it's time for the news media to get involved about the human feces issue going on in the county. I have no qualms about telling her tomorrow in front of everybody, all the park districts. And all the park districts will agree there isn't one of these special districts that attend these meetings that isn't having the problem. It might be to varying degrees, but everybody is experiencing it. And maybe collectively, all the special districts send in a letter. I don't want it to be a form letter because I think those are asinine. They don't do any good. But I think each individual district needs to send in how it's directly affecting their special district and ask for help. So anyway, with that, I'm done with my comments. Thanks, everybody. Keep on keeping on, and we'll get there. As Mom always told me, sometimes the journey is long, but the road is patient. So, you know, sometimes this journey right now is really long. The road is patient. I'm not always patient. I've learned a great deal of patience the last 2.5 months with COVID. So, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's just keep in it together. And with that, Mike, I guess we are at 7:48 for adjournment. Thank you, everyone. Great meeting tonight. Thank you to the two Bobs in attendance as well. We have Double B and the M&M group. So Charlie, are you a plain or a peanut girl? Or are you an almond?
Oh, heck, I'm nuttier than nuts, and I'm plain too.
I figured you for a peanut M&M kind of gal.
Definitely.
All right.
And Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa, are you plain peanut almond?
Oh, definitely not plain. I'm like an almond.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jerry, plain or peanut, you may as well throw it in.
And I get myself in trouble.
All right, Stacy, plain or peanut?
You guys already know the answer to that one.
All right.
She's more nutty than I am.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mr. Heller?
Pretzel?
Pretzel? That's not an M&M flavor.
It is an M&M. You should try them. They're phenomenal, especially the blue ones.
Oh, the blue. Okay, the pretzel M&M. Okay, I got you. All right, everybody. Okay. Be good. Stay sane. Take care.
Good night.